Hey folks, Sir Richard Wentworth. When you're ready to buy a car, TrueCar is changing car buying forever. Yes, TrueCar helps buyers get rid of the fear that they might overpay. Every day, TrueCar users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings, and TrueCar users save an average of $3,221 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. First, download the TrueCar mobile app or go to TrueCar.com to find out what others paid for the car you want. Then, register to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. Third step is simple. Take your guaranteed savings certificate to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. With TrueCar, you can save time, save money, and never overpay. To see how much you can save on the car you want, simply download the TrueCar mobile app or visit TrueCar.com today.
You're tuning into the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Songs of the night, for sure. Mm-hmm. But welcome, AfterBuzzers, to another Glee After Show. We're here on YouTube Live today, and you can always find us on YouTube at youtube.com/AfterBuzzTV, as well as on iTunes and SoundCloud. And you always can tweet at us. We love hearing all your theories and news and everything you've been tweeting at us already, but tweet at us using ABTV Glee. So, and I'm Stephanie Wanger.
Hannah Pritchard.
Hi everyone, I'm Marcy Serafini.
I'm Roxy Stryer.
And we're of course talking about season 6, episode 5, The Hurt Locker, part 2. What did you guys think? This felt very different than the first part of The Hurt Locker duo. I don't know what to call it. Yeah.
We did pick up right where we left off, though, so I was glad that at least we did that. Yeah, it was different. I have to say, I love this season. I'm loving the season. I love the episode. I thought it was great. I know that I've been looking on social media, and people seem to have vastly different opinions, but yeah. I really enjoyed it.
See, I love the beginning of this season, and there's parts of this episode that I really enjoyed, and then other parts there I was like, oh, I wish that had been a little bit different. And we'll get into that specifically in a few minutes. What did you...
I think it was definitely the better part of the Hurt Locker parts.
Yeah.
So I'd say it was definitely the better part. Overall, I really did like this episode. There were moments towards the end where I didn't like some editing stuff, but we'll... obviously talk about that with the songs.
Yeah.
Picky.
I did like this episode. It was fun here and there and how they threw in so many different things in a matter of how many hours that they're going through. I thought it was really fun, and I really liked, we'll get into it, but actually seeing the new directions sing.
Yes.
That was fun.
Agreed.
See, and I missed the original Directioners. Like, I appreciated the songs, and they were all fun, and there's different things about them, but there was a part of me that was just like, I still, we have Lea Michele standing here, we have Chris Colfer, like, why are we not hearing them sing? Yeah. And that was frustrating.
I agree. I want to hear a Rachel Berry ballad so bad, it's silly. Yeah. I'm thinking we're going to get one soon, though.
Do you think any of this has to do with the fact that maybe they don't have as much time to rehearse anymore? Because maybe they're working on other projects, some of which we're aware of, some of which we're not.
I mean, maybe. That's very possible, but I feel like...
they're still contractually.
Yeah, I was like, their first priority would probably still have to be Glee. Yeah. I would imagine they're still under contract.
And they're standing there.
I don't think so either, because if the first one, two episodes, we still had a full lineup of 7 to 9 songs. How many songs? So it's not like that they have less amount of time to rehearse or anything. It's just we're giving bigger storylines to different people.
I would love to get a hold of one of their contracts, though, to see, because I know they have it down, like, how many songs they have to sing. thing every season. How many, you know, what yeah. types of different songs, what notes they do it to that specifically. So,
and yeah. it's interesting because now we're complaining about that we're not getting enough of them. And it used to be, I think the contracts were there to protect them so that they had enough.
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. that they were getting enough, like, songs and things. So it's kind of switched, I feel like, in a lot of ways.
Right, right.
It's an interesting move. But maybe we should jump into the storyline tonight, the first one, which is Blaine and Kurt. I felt like that was the one that stuck out most to me in some ways. And I know Roxy just gave me like a eye roll.
No, no, it was more like a smile and stare to the side. It's confusing. It looks like my eye roll, but not the same meaning. This is my favorite thing that's going on. Like,
yeah,
I'm just completely obsessed with this storyline. Yeah. I think that's why I love the episode so much. Sue is out of her mind.
Yes.
And I missed that, Sue. Like, from the her with the fork to her dealing with Clayne tonight, she's out of her mind. And there's no other word than obsessed. So I think that this is awesome. The elevator part was awesome. Watching them kiss was, like, the most moving, amazing moment.
I just wanted, absolutely. Like, yeah, them to be like, oh, we're happy together and we're back together. I wanted, like, that kiss just left me being like, they should be together, guys.
But don't you want the struggle? I'm, like, excited for the struggle.
Me too.
I love the whole thing. And, I mean, that little, was it Saul that
yeah,
creature
Saw.
Came from?
Saw.
Yeah, whatever.
Saw.
It was so funny, but actually terrifying. I kept actually thinking when I was watching it, I was like, if I was in an elevator and that little thing rolled out, I would be horrified. Absolutely horrified. Like,
oh,
it was funny.
I think
the
a
concept,
lot of people would be horrified.
Horrified.
I mean, it was
terrifying.
A funny concept, especially from Sue. That's a yeah. creepy, creepy doll. But it was just enough to give the Clayne romance another spark that it might need.
Absolutely. I agree
that
with
was
that.
It. That was it.
I agree. The one thing I felt like it was missing was I think that if these two were actually sitting in a room together for as many hours as it seemed like they were, there would have been a song. I thought
the same.
I thought they'd be like, hey, we want to do a duet or something. Let's collaborate on something. Because, I loved the games with the piece of paper and all that. Yeah. I think it was hysterical. I love what they were talking about, what they were doing. I thought they did such a good job with that.
Mm-hmm.
But it would have been an amazing place to put in a song with the two of us.
Yeah, what better way to pass time by singing?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what they've always done.
Yeah. I was going to say, even like a little bit of karaoke, like on one of their, like, you know, iPhones
acapella.
Or whatever. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Acapella.
It was a perfect moment for a little acapella number. Mm-hmm. Like,
right.
Perfect.
They could have
been
totally
so awesome.
Which made me, that's why I asked my question earlier about rehearsal time, because I feel like that must have been a question at some point. Somebody writing the script at some point must have been like, huh, they're
yeah.
stuck here together. Should we do a song? And they obviously decided not to.
Right.
Why? Yes. Why would you decide that?
Good point.
So
good
crazy
point.
To me. But my bigger question was, I thought it was so creepy, the Sue doll thing. puppet. I don't know what to refer to it as. So scary, creepy. But was that, like, jumping the shark for them a bit? Like, it felt like a very un-Glee moment to me in some ways.
No, I
but
loved
it. Felt
it.
Like a very Sue type of thing that her character would do.
Oh,
and
Sue says it was Becky. I don't know.
But it's just kind of crazy how those two didn't pick up it was Sue in the first place. I'm like, it obviously looks like Sue.
Yeah,
right?
Clearly. I mean, it was Sasu. That's
yeah.
exactly what
yeah.
it was. It was ridiculous
Mini-Sue.
Looking. But I don't think it was jumping the shark because I think that it's so unique, but not in a forced kind of way, in like borrowing from culture in a weird Sue form.
See, I can understand that, and then the other part of me was like, Glee is so happy, and like, there's been poignant moments as well, and sad, but like, not scary, creepy. That's not where it goes very often. And to me, I was just like, wow, this feels really left of field in
yeah.
a lot of ways.
I loved it.
But I did like the, you know, the ode to the Saw movie, because that, you know, that's horror, and you have to do whatever the clown says, or whatever that is, the clown says to get out of your situation. So I liked how they put a more positive, romantic spin on it.
I completely get what you're saying, though, about it going to the creepy side. I think if Sue had cut one of their arms off, we would have
yeah.
jumped the shark.
Yeah.
But she didn't. You know, it didn't quite get to that let me show you creepy level.
Right. It wasn't like they something terrible. Yeah, like something terrible mm-hmm. happened to them in the elevator. It was just this. I agree. It was like edging that way for
right.
me. But I did think that they had those sweet moments. And that was my favorite part of the episode for
yes.
sure. Those like sweet quiet moments between Kurt and Blaine. It's something we haven't had in a while.
I just can't get over that kiss. That was just such an amazing kiss. Yeah. You know, sometimes I feel like actors maybe don't necessarily have sexual chemistry, and so when you watch them kiss on screen, it's like, I know this is supposed to be the most epic kiss of all time, but for me, it's just something about that kiss was like so passionate and awesome.
I thought they
nailed it.
Yeah, I think it was because it was juxtaposed with the song "It Must Have Been Love," which was cool. But, like, really added to it.
Yeah, I agree. So good point.
I agree. Also, I just feel like there was something about that kiss that was like the fans had been waiting for it, or at least I'd been waiting for it. I can't speak for everyone, but that I wanted it so much that to me it felt really epic.
Does it bother anyone at all that we are now supposed to all be on board with this? It's supposed to be the number one romance, the epic love story. Does anybody think like they're trying to make this take Rachel and Finn's place and it bothers people?
Yes, I feel that way, actually. I feel like almost we're being a little bit cheated on the relationship front in that sense, because I think everybody is a fan of Kurt and Blaine, or I imagine most people are, and I get that that probably is a bigger relationship than like Santana and Brittany and stuff like that or whatnot, but I don't feel like it's right that they're trying to make that the main big epic relationship. Like,
do you think that if we still had Finn on the show, that Finn and Rachel would have been together and Clayne might not have been together?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because honestly, it's weird because I loved the whole makeout scene and all of that. I thought it was so hot and great and great chemistry, whatever. And I was stoked for it to happen. But when they were talking with Sue afterwards, I actually oddly felt that it would be okay if they didn't end up together. When they were talking with them and they were like, we want to just be friends, as much as I think they will probably end up together, it was the only moment in their relationship that I've been like, okay, actually, this, it may be meant to be for them not to be. I don't know.
Well, I also think it's from the audience standpoint, just in general, we're all just rooting for a successful relationship on this show. And right now, they're really pushing the Clayne story to be the most successful one right now. Had Finn, you know, and Corey not passed away, we would have been pushing for that to be the most successful. So they're going with the next one.
I agree with that. And so, honestly, as much as I do love Clayne, and I loved tonight's episode, I did feel like it was jammed down our throats a little bit because they kept saying epic and like the story of the decade, whatever they were saying or Sue was saying. So that was interesting for me at least.
Yeah. Don't fight the Clayne romance.
Exactly. She ships them hard.
Totally.
I mean, I was a cheerleader for Rachel and Finn, obviously, and I've
Cheerio?
Thank you, Roxy. And I obviously love Blaine and Kurt, but I agree. I think that realistically, if you're looking at those two relationships, Rachel and Finn were probably the more likely to succeed, and they were like the couple that we were introduced to in the pilot, and they were definitely the thing that like I think we were supposed to cheer for in the end, and now they've taken on this like secondary couple, and I think, though, like, fans are getting behind it, and it's working. So, in that capacity, I think they're doing something right.
I agree, but, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. Because of all the binge-watching that people do now, say somebody's watching the show in 20 years and doesn't know when Finn left the show what happened to Corey.
Right.
The show did a really great job for us while we were watching it, letting us know that he had passed, the character had passed away. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel like if I was watching this in 20 years and I didn't know who Corey Monteith really was, that I would exactly know what happened. I think I would be kind of baffled with why he left the show.
I completely agree with that. Because, like, they covered it, you know, whatever, and not to, like, go back, we can't redo it, whatever, but it never, I don't feel like they've ever fully grieved it in the show as much as they should have or whatnot, and I understand that that may be for production sense and for the cast and crew and everything like that. So, you know, that's not something necessarily to be commented on, I feel like, or like to judge so
much.
No,
I get what you're saying, though.
But I agree with you. If I did not know the story years later from now and watched it all, I'd be like, this should be a bigger deal than I feel like they're giving it. You know what I mean? Or pay more attention or flashback to it or
but they,
whatnot.
They have. There was yeah. references. Ways, I mean, even yeah. tonight's episode, they
with
did.
The jersey.
Right. So, like, every once in a while, we do have the mention of Finn and what
happened. That's true. Right. I think it is important to, as you said earlier, this is kind of a light show, so we have to keep it like that, and we can't dwell on it all of the time.
Right.
But I was just thinking about, of course, this show set itself up so that was supposed to be the it couple.
Yeah.
And I, you know, when you ship a couple so much, and when you go back and binge something, if you see that they're not together anymore, I would just be like, what?
That's
right?
Yeah.
What are they doing to us? Why are they trying to make Clayne replace them?
Yeah. Well, after the last moment was so epic, and then, unfortunately, he passed away. So, like, exactly. I completely understand that.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's an interesting, the way that they've gone about it and kind of gotten everybody to, I don't want to say move on, but, like, move on to a different couple is what I mean. Like,
right.
It is interesting, for
right.
sure.
Exactly.
But should we now talk about this big invitational that we've never seen in all the seasons?
All right. That's what we were saying, but then somebody commented on our YouTube that's what Rachel Rhodes was doing, that she was there for an invitational. You guys know this invitational thing confuses me. It confuses me. I said it last week. I'm baffled by it, but if that is true, then...
I mean, I don't think it's ever been... Maybe it's been mentioned that there is some invitational, but I don't feel like it was ever, like, a competition in the way that this felt much more like a regional or a...
2 episodes long.
Yeah. yeah. Then,
of 12 episodes or 13.
Right. Than we've ever seen before an invitational being. So it felt much more of that competitive spirit going on between these schools.
I agree.
Yeah. But did you think that the right team won, that, of course, New Directions won?
That's hard to say, only because the way they went about winning, I had a problem with. Where they were singing the songs, catering to just Sue, just because now we know that Sue's the one officiating it, and she's a judge, which that I don't know how they allow that to happen, but she's principal, whatever. But the fact that they changed their complete set list just for Sue's placation... It didn't feel like it was Glee. It felt like it was for Sue.
I, first of all, think that it's crap that they won. For lack of better words.
So glad I asked that question.
For lack of better words, because I think they should have come in third place. You know, I don't even think they were in second place. I thought they did a really good job for what they had to work with.
Yeah.
But because it was Sue being the judge, I thought they were going to come in first place after they stole the songs and they... That, you know, if you can get what the judge wants and give it to them, then you're going to win, period.
Right.
That's how things work. I thought Dalton blew everybody away. I thought Dalton, and they came in third, which, so if I was the judge, I would have completely flipped the entire order. And again, I thought the New Directions did a good job with what they were given. But one of the rules was there had to be 12 of them. And there weren't.
And they passed that. They're like, okay.
So,
wait, I'm just trying to remember. There's like 9 of them now.
So it's 7. Roderick, Kitty, Spencer, Madison, Mason, and Jane.
Okay, yeah, so
there's 6.
Oh, 6. Okay.
For some reason, I kept counting 7.
Yeah. Did I miss somebody?
No, there were 6 because they counted on stage.
Yeah,
only 6 of them.
There's 6 of them. So that I believe that's half of 12.
Yeah. Good job.
They're halfway there.
So they didn't even qualify.
But they won.
No, it's just an odd that, like, they can throw these rules out. And Sue made a reference to it, that, like, that's the only rule that, like, they ever care about. But they obviously still don't care about it.
Yeah.
But
and
why?
Sue changed some rules during the competition. Remember that? She's like,
it has to be
these.
Old school?
Yeah.
Was that one of them?
Yeah. So she changed things mid competition.
Yeah, after one of the teams had already performed.
Yeah.
I also couldn't believe Rachel. We've talked about Rachel as a role model and that she would allow Kitty to break into Sue's computer and she's standing there.
She even said that. She was like, I probably shouldn't let you do this. I was like,
Yeah.
You're a teacher.
Yeah.
They call you Miss Barry. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. And I was just like watching this happen and I kept thinking, like, is she going to get fired again? Is this where this is going? I mean, I don't think that in actuality. I think that it's not going to, she's not going to get punished for it. But I kept wondering, is this like, she's really going to fall on her feet? Like,
and they made such a big point of having us know that she wasn't the one who asked Sam to steal Mr. Shu's mail. This is worse than that.
Yeah.
Like, what she did, I think, at an actual school would be considered, well, no, like, stealing somebody's mail is a felony, but
yeah. But like all the steps they went through to get these songs, like two passwords, so it was like a binary system.
And wasn't one of them like something Bolton
from Thunderbolt? Like,
yeah. Yeah. 69. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what that
well,
means.
Well, we know Sue yeah, loves Michael Bolton.
Well, she carried his child.
Exactly. That's right.
So, that just like slips by everybody all the time.
Like I heard that password, I was like, "Yep, that's totally Sue."
Yeah,
yeah. I mean,
I wonder what the other one was. They didn't share it with us.
No. I know. I was waiting for that. I was like, "Okay, guess we don't care about that one."
We might. Find
Maybe
out.
We'll come back.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also wondered if, like, in the writers' room, they had like a wall where they were just writing up all these passwords because you know that that was not the first one they came up with.
Oh,
like
no.
That was they had a good.
I wish I saw the runner-up.
Yeah. So amazing. I feel like tonight we saw a lot of, like, the return of, like, amazing little things from the writers. Not, I mean, maybe not even the return, but just these amazing little, like, I don't know, lines.
They've
got
to put it all out there because we don't have much. I say it every week, but we're getting closer and closer.
It's crazy to me that we're in episode 5 already.
I know.
How did that happen? Like, I don't even know.
What was the point when Sue was like, there's 6 more weeks, 7 depending on whether
that was
the network gives
network me. Preemptions.
We
that was such
about
a
that.
Shout out to just Fox.
Yeah. Right.
I love that.
Yeah.
Also,
that.
Again, that self-awareness that we always mm-hmm. talk about. Like, so they're so aware of what they are at this point, and
right.
it's really, really funny. And
yeah.
and Sue's lines tonight were spot on, I do
yeah.
have to say.
Absolutely. And then again with the fork. To Will. I couldn't with that.
So funny.
But I did like how she brought it back because now it's like full circle. We're done.
With the fork?
Yeah. The fork. It's like, this is what started
it
all.
She had it in the bag, though.
And this is what
Psycho.
We're ending it with. So, like, literally that storyline is done.
Yeah.
And you're glad.
Yeah. They can't. Moving on.
How did you feel about... I'm still confused about Sam and Rachel. This is... There really seem to be pushing for something to happen there. And there's, like, a preview
it.
For... For
I
it
still
for next
want it.
Week, and it just felt like it's a little forced to me.
I don't think it's necessary. I mean, it might be cute now. I'm not saying I'm not against it, but I'm not saying I'm completely for it either. I mean, if you want a good relationship, just stick to Clayne. It's fine. We don't need
and Brittana.
Yeah, it's Rachel
don't
doesn't
forget about
need
Brittana.
To. Yeah, no, yeah, of course. But Rachel doesn't need to finish this show with somebody.
No, she doesn't. And I agree with you, but I still like it. I just think it's like a fun little side relationship. I think for some reason I feel like she needs to have some sort of fun relationship and maybe have some sort of revelation at the end that she doesn't need to be with somebody or anything like that. I think that would be totally fine, but to me it's something fun to watch still without yeah. all of these serious, you know what I mean? They keep throwing in all these different topics and storylines, but they're like serious topics, you know what I mean? And aside from that, they're just focusing on the relationships we've already had. I think this is just a fun extra one to throw in there to keep everybody still like, hey, you know, did you see this or what?
I think I'd be perfectly fine with that if we were in the middle of the show. If we were
yeah.
in season 4 and we knew, okay, we have till season 6 and this is a fun, like,
fling
for them. Yeah. Like, great. I just don't know that I want it in these final few episodes. I want something, I don't even know if it's greater or just different for Rachel. It feels like this, it's easy, he's here. And I feel like yeah. that's never been from the pilot what she's about.
I put my foot down. I'm miserable watching it. I mean, even when he comes in, he's like, but I'm in love with you. And she's like, what? And what he's doing, obviously it's not his fault because he's hypnotized.
Right.
Yeah.
But it just, except for that one performance last week, that was amazing. And I felt the vibes there because they were performing together. And sometimes that happens with artists. Other than that, I will not let myself slip. My foot is down.
Yeah.
And I am against it. For sure.
I don't know. I just, I totally get what you mean. And it does feel that forced feeling to me because they're like, we need to have her be with someone. And
right.
it's the end of the series. But I think I also agree with you in that it's a fun thing. I just wish it wasn't season 6.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what I liked as a fun thing? Just, I don't know. I felt like for a second when they were on stage together, but it's not going to happen because he's gay and she's straight. Well, are you going to say Spencer and Kitty?
Yeah.
Spencer and Kitty.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. They, like, looked at each other. I felt like they were undressing each other with their eyes.
Dude, but I'm in love with him.
And I'm so
obsessed. I spent a good time, like, Instagram stalking him after this episode. I'm not ashamed. Right. I follow you now if you watch this.
His character on the show is really cool. I wish that we got longer with his character, but we're not going to. All of them seem to be cool.
Yeah.
But now I'm invested. Are they trying to do this on purpose so that we get some sort of spin?
I don't know. New directions.
Right.
But I don't think that's a bad thing. I feel like so many things I feel like frustrate all of us watching this last season, but at the same time I feel like if they did all the things we wanted them to do as appreciating this and putting homage or whatever that word is to it being the last season.
Homage. Yeah.
Beautiful. I said it right the first time. But if they did that, then I almost feel like they would just be giving up on the entire series. You know what I mean? I feel like they would just be doing what they should do, and that's never been Glee's way. I feel like Ryan Murphy's mindset would be like, why am I going to do that just because it's the last season? You know right. what I mean?
Well, it's also, we did see Will's character tonight say a line. He's like, I put my best in the, you know, whatever. Like, he wanted the best team. He created the best team that we as the audience knew and loved. And I think that's what they're going with this season, that Rachel is trying to create the best new team that we can all know and love.
I love that he said that, and I also loved when he said it's important to have a nemesis, it makes you better, about Sue, and I was like, he gets it.
Yeah.
He gets what she is.
Rachel's nemesis? Still Sue.
Yeah. I think everyone's nemesis is Sue.
I mean, yeah. I think that it's interesting because you start to see the parallels between Mr. Hsu and Rachel and how, in some ways, even though they seemed very different when she was in high school, they're actually in a lot of ways very similar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would say the same.
True.
And we always thought that obviously Finn was the one who was similar to him, but there was a little bit of Finn and Rachel too, which means that there's a little bit of Mr. Hsu and Rachel.
Yeah. And it was interesting to see her like really listening to him tonight, because I feel like a lot of times you would see him giving these amazing pieces of advice and she'd be like, whatever, I'm gonna go be the star. And for the first time, I felt like in a long time, we saw her really kind of digesting that information and being like, wait, you're right, like there is something valuable here.
Yeah, and it's nice that Will's still giving this worldly advice to Rachel, not to his own vocal adrenaline team, but it's still to Rachel. Sad. Like, Rachel still has a lot to learn.
But I did like, I can't remember his name, the guy on his team.
Clint.
I did like, though, that now he has somebody to slightly be invested in on his team. Like, Clint at the end saying how this is still important to him, too, because he's a senior.
Mm-hmm.
I actually really liked that. I was like, great, because that's giving Will Schuster, like, still an opportunity to be who he is in his own team, with his own team. You know what I mean?
Right. It's important for him to be a mentor. Even though we're not invested in Clint or any of them, we're not invested in vocal adrenaline at all. We should be, if Will is, and he needs at least somebody. I mean, I liked what you guys were talking about, too, with what he was saying to Rachel, but I thought that the person that was more poignant with Rachel today was Kitty.
Oh, yeah.
And everything she said.
Was that surprise to anyone, though?
No, it wasn't a surprise, but I forgot how, because I always kind of relate Kitty to Quinn and think of them as the same entity, but they're not. And I just thought it was very well phrased what she said.
Yeah.
And I thought she knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, I think that Kitty tonight, we kind of saw, oftentimes, I feel like last season we just were like, oh, she's the blonde cheerleader, and that's why you equate her to Quinn.
Right.
But, like, we kind of saw that there's another side to her, and there's something deeper there.
Yeah, and I liked how Kitty can get over, yes, she has been done wrong and whatnot, she had past transgressions, but she can be that better person, take the high road, and come back with moral lessons and still, like, helping everyone else out. Like, yes, we're going to go trying times, but you never want to degrade Glee because it's going to do so much for you.
Right, but she doesn't get far enough off brand because then, you know, she comes back and she's like the fat one, the gay one, the one that nobody cares about, whatever it is.
Yeah.
The incest twin. So I was like, oh, she's true to herself, but also I think she's really going to help the team.
Yeah, but her character growth,
I kept thinking about how Kitty, in a lot of ways, like Sue has the mean and the nice side. And you kind of saw that in Kitty tonight, that there's, like, the really mean and, like, she's goes after people. And then there's this side of more kind of she understands what, like, the bigger picture. She's street smart, I guess, is the best way.
A lot of people look up to their coaches, you know. So the fact that Rachel turned out a little bit like Will and a lot of the Cheerios turned a little bit like Sue, it shows that how much influence an adult can have on an adolescent.
Yeah,
which is cool to see.
I agree.
Which is why she maybe needs a little Rachel in her life. So,
and what did you think about Sam mentoring Spencer?
really cool. Yeah. I knew this was going to happen. It was foreshadowed when we heard Sam say, if I was the coach, then I would start you as quarterback. And I think that they can relate well to each other. It just makes me nervous because he's under this weird spell. So what if he does something bad to Spencer? I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
We love Spencer.
Yeah. But I did like the message that Sam gave out. It's like, yes, Glee's going to do so much for you too, because again, you can't fill Finn's shoes, but yeah, he was that leader as well, and so can you be.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. What did you think of Spencer singing tonight? And we'll get into the songs in a second here, but this was something that I wrote down that I wanted to ask you guys, because we didn't hear a lot of his individual voice, and I was wondering how strong it is or isn't. Like, we saw him, I think, sing earlier this season, and I loved it, but it just didn't feel like he, like, stood out amongst the crowd tonight.
I felt like he didn't have enough time to sing in a particular song tonight, because, mm-hmm. granted, we had three different songs, but it was more catered to three different singers.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. he maybe got, like, 10 seconds, but it wasn't enough to be memorable.
It was weird to me that they made Roderick audition after hearing him for a few seconds, but they didn't make Spencer audition.
They were, like, super excited to have Spencer.
Right. They need people.
Yeah, but they needed people when they had Roderick come, you know?
Yeah,
so, I don't know. I just felt like they were like, oh, crap, we only have a few episodes left. He's just got to be part of the crew.
We don't have time to deal with this.
But yeah. his actual voice, you know, I think his character is strong enough that his voice is, I wasn't upset with it, but it wasn't the strongest of the new members. I think Roderick just knocks it out of the park.
His
voice is outrageous.
I agree. I do like all the new characters. It's just kind of, I think I'm still missing, like, the other half. I still want to see, like, the Leah Michelle and all of that, having Chris Colfer, and, like, you have all, and Darren Criss, like, you have all these amazing singers right there, and they're not getting on stage, and it, like, for me personally, I found that really frustrating.
Right, but I could listen to Roderick all day. I'm not
kidding. Absolutely.
He has one of the best, one of my favorite voices on the show. I don't mean to say best, because everybody has a different opinion, and they all are very, very talented. Yeah. But that quality to a voice is something I really appreciate.
But also, it's the message of Glee this particular season. It's the students becoming the teachers, passing it on. So I get it. We, as an audience who loves the original New Directions, we want to see. I mean, there's so many. We want to see them sing. But as their job in the stories, they have to teach and do unto others.
Right.
I agree. I totally agree with that. But let us know what you're thinking. You can go on iTunes or YouTube, rate, comment, and, you know, we're always live on YouTube every week, so we're looking at your comments and all of that good stuff. So let us know.
Woo!
Exactly. Let's jump into songs. I feel like it's time.
Yeah.
So the first song of the night was, let me flip back.
My Sharona.
I'm so glad
I really needed.
Awesome. That was amazing. Guys knocked that out of the park. Let's just be clear.
Totally.
It was the Warblers.
We didn't even plan it.
I know.
It was perfect.
The Warblers singing it. This was, like, not the best start for me. I thought it was, like, you guys did a great job. I liked the song. I don't know. I didn't love their rendition of it. I didn't hate it. It was just, like, okay for me.
You liked it less than their other song. It was your least favorite of the
two that they sang tonight. I liked the second one better, which was You Spin Me Around. We can just talk about them together because they were kind of a joint.
I love that song. I just wrote lots of spinning, and that's all because, I don't know, Warblers are good. But their performance, just those two songs, compared to everyone else having three, it wasn't memorable. It wasn't like, okay, wow, mind-blowing. It's just like, okay, good, fun 80s song. We've all heard them over and over again. They're spinning around, right round on the stage. That's it.
I don't know.
I love that song, though. I loved it.
Did you have a preference between which one was your...
Well, You Spin Me Right Round, obviously, is going to be the one I like better just because I like that song. So
I really like both of them. I thought they sounded awesome. It was energetic. It didn't feel like last week we were talking about how Vocal Adrenaline didn't feel like Will at all. This felt more like Blaine, but not fully at Blaine's potential.
Yes.
There were some strange theatrical dance moves, and I'm a total theater geek, so I love that kind of thing, but some of them were a little off, but I thought that they did the best of the three groups.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it, especially the second song I really liked. The first one, it's weird, because normally I'm like, I really dislike this, or I really like it. And it was just kind of like, okay. It left me wanting more, which is good, because they had a second song.
Yeah. I feel like I don't know how great the show thought they were, because they put a lot of different things over it and, like, made them quieter.
Yeah.
You know, when we had the elevator and their... later on, even with different songs, but whatever it is, they kept lowering the music, and I was like, "Ooh, God, this is an interesting thing that they're doing."
Crazy,
yeah,
it drove me crazy, angered me so much. But anyways,
no, I agree with that. What did you think of It Must Have Been Love, which was Kitty and Spencer, of course, and the whole New Directions crew?
I think it was a great background for what Marissa was talking about earlier.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Clean
was the only good thing about it.
Yeah, but then again, they're lowering the song. And
see, and I loved it, and may have been because of what it was the background to, but I thought it was, like, a sweet number. I didn't think, again, like, oh, it wasn't, like, the best or the worst. It was just, like, a sweet, it fit that moment, and they did, a nice song selection as well on that.
I felt like the song selections were really great for them, but I still liked them more than I have the past couple weeks. I was getting a little bit more of my, like, emotional feel from it.
Just like Sue?
Yes. But they kept cutting back and forth to Sue, and it took away from the actual performance. I was like, this is... You're almost giving it to me, and then you're taking it away before I can even fully feel something for it.
I know. I completely feel like that.
It's driving me crazy.
The first two groups had no cutting back and forth, and then when we finally get to our own people, now you're taking us away to something completely unrelated.
I wanted it to at least be flashbacks that we'd seen or could relate to, but like you're saying, there was nothing there. We're watching her lose the role to Julia Roberts, Pretty Woman, whatever, you know.
Scarface.
I'm sitting there and thinking, so?
Like,
I get what they were trying to do, but all the things, you know, if it had been flashbacks to moments with Will or Rachel, then we could have invested a little more, but it was like
really random.
The flashbacks only showed why Sue were, like, picked these songs as emotional. These were her personal failures in life. That makes her emotional. So, I mean, I got the message, but it wasn't needed.
If there was ever a time to put Michael Bolton in Glee, though, this would have been it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a dream.
That would have been an amazing flashback.
I agree. What about, so, father figure? That's the next one, right?
Yeah, I did really like it.
I mean, but that's because of Roderick.
I was going to say, we started the episode, our episode, with it tonight, and it was just... a really fun, I don't know, I liked the number.
I couldn't love him more. It was my favorite episode, favorite song of the night. It was, and just his voice is hauntingly beautiful.
He can sing.
Yeah. I mean, he can sing for sure.
Incredible. Just, like, gets up there and rocks. I kind of feel like he's one of those singers, though, where it doesn't matter what the song is. He's going to, like, blow it out of the water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is so attractive when he's singing, too.
It's so true.
There's something about him. He's just got that vibe. It's, like, laid back.
Yeah, I feel like he's going to, like, record deal after Glee.
Completely. And break hearts.
Yeah.
All across America.
Amazing. He was one of my favorites. And then All Out of Love, which was the final number of the night, Air Supply, Mason, Madison, the whole deal.
You know what? I got to say, this was my favorite one. Only because I was the most surprised out of Mason's talent.
Yeah,
I was surprised too.
His voice was phenomenal. And then listening to that, I was like, I could hear a full album of just him singing.
I can get that.
Great voiced, especially to that song.
I thought Madison did a really good job too, but I agree that Mason killed it. My problem with this was, I was expecting a different kind of song. I don't know, it's a little similar to the first song for me that they sang, and I like this song a lot. I have this song. I listen to this song. But it felt like we were on a Genius playlist.
Yes.
And I wanted them to show different range.
I completely, completely agree with you. Could not say that better.
Yeah, I feel like...
High five, girlfriend.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you and I are on the same page on that. I know.
Never.
I know. It's crazy. Like, I appreciated their voices. I felt like the song, as much as I listened to it in my, like, personal and the original, I think it's great, but it's just not... It just didn't feel right in that moment.
Right.
I loved it because of Mason. He was
Mason the new?
I'm really glad, though, that they didn't have huge dance numbers, because that would have been brutal. We would have been like, there's no way you tackled that.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Unless you brought Mike Chang in to teach you hashtag where's Mike.
But they did poke fun at that. They won only by sitting on stools.
Yeah. They did. It's true.
I mean,
self-aware.
Again. Yeah. Self-aware. But
sometimes self-aware doesn't mean that I like what you did.
No.
You know, even though you know what you did, doesn't mean I have to like it because you know it.
I mean, I think, like, sometimes, yes, you're pointing it out because you know the audience is smart and you're playing into that.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that it's always the right choice.
Right. So, but at least we got the dancing with Dalton, so this was a nice juxtaposition.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you ready for news and gossip?
What you got?
Love. All right. So, news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Love. All right. So, I can't believe this is the case. The Glee cast will be singing their 700th song this season. Whoa. I remember when it was like
500.
500 or 100. Like, I feel like 700.
Oh,
that's,
my gosh.
How much money do you think that they have made on iTunes? Or how many downloads do you think they've had?
Or just royalties insane. In general.
Yeah. I mean, that's
a lot.
Insane.
I wonder how many downloads they've had off iTunes. Oh, my God.
I mean,
700 songs?
Yeah. Crazy. 700 songs. Do you want to know what the 700th song will be?
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Yes. Spoiler. Woo. Oh, so What the World Needs Now, which is a Burt Bacharach song.
Yeah.
And it's celebrating Britney and Santana.
Are they singing it?
I don't think they're singing it. I think that the others are singing it to them.
At their wedding?
I can't confirm that. Can't confirm that. I would guess that could be the case. And then also, a little news, Amber Riley returns, which is super exciting. I know we've talked about that. Creating an awkward love triangle between Mercedes, Rachel, and Sam.
Is it really a triangle? Just a triangle.
I'm only awkward. Telling you what I'm reading.
I feel like it is three separate dots.
I know.
Like, on three different planets.
I mean,
it probably is.
Are they connected? I don't think so.
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of questions in that love triangle and how it's all gonna... I know... Marissa's looking at me like I should never, ever call it a love triangle again.
Because I don't think it is.
Yeah, and the second that Rachel heard that he still had feelings for Mercedes, she backed off. Like, there's no way Mercedes comes back and Rachel's like, but I want him.
Yeah.
I mean, unless she does, and then I guess there's a way.
I mean, but... And Sam says he's still in love with Mercedes, but is Mercedes still in love with Sam?
No, I never liked them together.
Oh,
no,
don't get us started.
Is Mercedes reciprocating that love? I don't think it's a triangle.
We saw one moment between them. We saw one moment between them, either the first or second episode, where he said something and she kind of blew him off.
Yeah,
exactly.
So
she's not reciprocating.
Right. Oh, he says, are you still doing that virginity thing or something like that? And I was like, you really don't get her.
No. I mean, that's what's so interesting is that these are three, like, individuals.
Right.
And so it's going to be interesting to see how or if who, I guess, Sam ends up with is really the question at this point.
Yeah. Or if he ends up with anybody. This could be the end of it all.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
That's true.
Interesting. Well, we'll get into that in a second with predictions. but Diana Agron, everyone on Twitter has been going crazy over this, whether she'll be back, what's going on. And she is rumored to have left, but I feel like it's the end of the series. Everyone's leaving.
Yeah.
Supposedly we saw her last episode is what people are saying.
Allegedly she's still been filming, so
but
I don't...
If you think about it, supposedly she left the show 2 seasons ago. And we're still seeing her, so I think it's just, just last-minute rumors.
I think that I saw, like, paparazzi photos, and you never know how accurate this is, but that she was, like, leaving the set and having lunch after filming.
She's not going to not go to Britannia's wedding.
Exactly.
I mean, that would mean, because the writers wouldn't have done that, that would mean that something would have had to happen so big that the actress decided in the last season she couldn't show up. And even if she's not in any other episodes, are you serious?
Yeah.
By the way, didn't she sleep with Santana? And does Brittany know that?
That's so true.
An interesting point.
One time?
Well,
the Glee members know that, which is surprising.
Yeah.
How did they know?
Well, tweet at us and let us know what you're thinking about that, because that's something that I'm going to have to ponder past right this second. So that being said, also Diana Agron premiered her new movie at Sundance. It's called Zipper, and it's with Richard Dreyfuss and Patrick Wilson. She plays a young intern who tempts her boss.
She's tempting.
Yeah, so something fun to check out. It's like obviously an indie film, but something that you should definitely get your hands on if you can.
Cool.
Yeah. Right. So ready for predictions?
Yeah.
And now your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Anyone got a big one that they want to jump in with?
I have a couple.
Okay, go ahead. Go for it.
We mentioned tonight that maybe who's Rachel's nemesis, and we're thinking Sue, but I think for a nemesis for Rachel, it'd be someone like her own age, and we see Clint threaten Will at the end of tonight's episode.
Oh, no, he didn't!
I can kind of see Clint maybe going against New Directions and scheming against Rachel and them. He could potentially be the new person trying to bring down the New Directions from another school.
Interesting.
Because we've always seen the school rivalry, and we haven't really seen that yet. So I think he could be the person at the point of that. And then I also think Sue will have like some serious punishment to the new Glee, New Directions, for getting her passwords and abusing her emotional songs.
So do you think Rachel will also receive punishment for that, or just the kids?
I think the whole, everyone, Rachel and the kids.
Across the board.
Sue has another thing going against.
You're all fired.
Yes. Yeah. Some punishment.
I still think that the way we're going to get these other six members as part of New Directions is they're going to be old directions that are transferring back in. Sam's going to help out. Rachel's going to go on a hunt. That's what I think.
And also, we did see Rachel mention, like, those other past New Direction members as well. This is the second time we've been referenced to them, so I think they're going to come back.
Right. Yes.
I think we saw the coach of the deaf school in this episode.
Yes, the police.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, the police officer.
So I think we're going to see them at some point, and maybe he could be some sort of nemesis or work against them to some degree. Mm. I also think that at the wedding that Kurt will bring Walter, and Blaine will, obviously bring Karofsky, and I think that will cause a little bit of jealousy.
And Karofsky will eat the ice cream. So weird.
And yet they had their second date.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, and Kurt wanted it to be a date.
Yeah, and I actually kind of like that.
Maybe Walter and Karofsky will hook up.
Yes, because clearly Karofsky did like older men, we saw at Breadsticks. So.
And I feel like Sam, I don't know, I feel like Sam, when he comes out of this trance or whatever he's in, he's going to leave some pain in his like wake. It's like Rachel and all these people are going to be hurt by everything that he's kind of doing, and he'll have no recollection, and he'll have to kind of scramble to figure out
what
happened.
That next episode will be the best episode of the season.
Agreed.
And here's what. First of all, I'm looking now. It seems like we have 8 songs next week, which is something that I've been dreaming for. It's just time.
And for Tan.
Obviously, that's why I think so. But I think it's time. You know, we're going to get episode 6. I think they've stepped up their game, and they're stepping up their game, but we got to.
I'm halfway through. Yeah. Next week, it's the halfway point.
And do we finally get a Rachel Berry ballad? Because I need one.
I hope so.
If it's not from Rachel Berry, it's from the original New Directions.
I need a Rachel Berry one.
Coming back.
If we have 8 songs, I've got to assume.
Has to.
That's the majority of the episode. If you have 8 songs in an episode, I'm so excited about that. Because I feel like songs have been a little lacking recently, so it would be nice.
The last 2 episodes.
We're averaging about 5 songs an episode, so this is 3 more songs.
So excited for that.
I'm so good at math tonight, guys.
You're on it, Roxy. All right, so let us know what you're thinking. Always tweet at us and, go on YouTube, rate, comment. We love hearing everything, and next week we'll definitely do some shout-outs to some amazing comments. So let us know, and you can find AfterBuzz on Twitter, AfterBuzzTV, and you can find me at Stephanie Wanger.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at TheHotShotDude.
You can follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at SerafiniTV.
And you can find me at Roxy Stryer.
See you next week. Bye.
from executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later, Gleeks!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.